Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Moment today that I believe we're going to have in a little bit. Because as I was preparing, we've been teaching on the healings of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's been amazing. And thank goodness Jim Hockaday 2 weeks ago did one of them for me. I don't even have to do it. That was going to be my next one, and I'm like, done. I don't need to re-go over that. It was phenomenal. If you missed it, get the CD, listen to the podcast. I hope for those of you that were here, you're re-listening to it, that you're marinating on that. Anybody, how many times have you listened to it? At least more than once? Good. Four. Awesome. Keep listening to it, especially those of you that got a miracle. I'm going to teach you today on one we've actually talked about, and you might go, why are we doing this again then? Because I asked Jesus the Holy, and I asked literally the same thing. And he said, well, you missed something. And I'm like, well, okay. So we're going to cover a few different things today, but I'm gonna switch gears within the next probably 2 or so weeks, and we're going to talk about how to keep your healing. Because you're healed, but it says the enemy wants to come and kill, steal, rob, and destroy. Your healing can't be taken from you, but your mental arena, that's important. Because if he can get you to think the wrong thing, he can get you to say the wrong thing. And if you're going to say the wrong thing, it's a seed. Yeah. I've had moments when I've had extreme healings this year. I mean, extreme. And I had moments when I literally woke up and it was everything. I had felt it again. And that was confusing to me. Anybody like confusing? I woke up. I had lost 50 pounds of inflammation. That's wild. Wild. 25 happened overnight. I woke up in February one day. I looked in the mirror, and I was like, I look how I did months ago. How is this possible? It's what I was seeing. Was it real? No. I walked out of the house back to normal. But sometimes you can see something. It's not real. I love what Jim Hockaday said, that movie, what's it called? I think Divergent, where she's looking at something, and she's looking at it, and she goes, this isn't real. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta look at symptoms and go, hey, you're not real. You're not real. You have authority. You get to decide what's real in your life. That's empowering to me. You get to decide. Say, I get to decide. You may have woke up feeling something. It's not real. You get to decide. You get to decide. So we're going to go back into a story today, and I'm just as curious as you are to some of the things that we're going to go and talk about, but I'm prepared. So Holy Spirit, would you just take over? Would you flood this place, Lord? Would you speak through me? God, would your word come alive today? We just thank you for your word, God. We grab hold of it in Jesus' name. If you have your Bible, go with me to Mark. Mark 5. Did you enjoy the testimonies last week? We're going to do that a lot. Did that raise your faith? Yeah, I loved them. Me and Merritt were watching at home. He had his issues that day, and we were listening, and it started with Ken, and it kept going, and man, by the end of it, that kid was happy. All things were staying inside of his body, if you know what I mean. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And today, as I dropped off Merritt downstairs, the Holy Spirit was so present in that little classroom. My son and a little gal in there, we're having a little bit of a moment to go inside. Just a little bit of a moment. And so I went in there, and I nearly wanted to stay in there. I'm like, someone else preach. It's really nice in here. Rosie went over, prays for the gal, then comes and prays for Mary. And she just goes, Jesus, peace. Peace, Jesus. And when I tell you, the atmosphere was different. It was so different. I'm going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood today, and you're probably like, Mercedes, you did it. Yes, I did. But there's a moment in here that I had not seen before. And I think it's how she got sick in the first place. And God speaks to it at the end, and we're gonna learn today. Are you ready? Go with me to verse 24. It says, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic today. And it says, Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides. This is an introvert's worst nightmare. So as almost to suffocate him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's not a little bit of blood. That's a flow of blood, 12 years. And who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians. And had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. I've been there. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. And suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. From him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Leave it to the disciples to ask really stupid questions throughout the Bible. And that, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. That seemed like a weird, generic thing to say. Most people probably thought, what are you talking about? But to the one who had asked for something, it was specific. She knew it was her. It says, still he kept looking around. So he just ignored the disciples. It's wonderful. I just, throughout these healings, Jesus ignores a lot of people. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. Wow. We're going to pick this apart. Let's go back up to verse 25. It said that this woman had had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, inside of her miracle, and the last time that we spoke, we went over Jairus's, where it said, he came in and said, Father, you know, my little girl, she's going to die. And this woman intersects it. They're on the way to this man's house. And she intersects it. And when we read this, I don't think a lot of us, at least I didn't know this originally, was the reason it says that here that she was alarmed and frightened and trembling was not because of Jesus, was not because of the crowd around her, was because the man standing next to Jesus was Jairus, the one who had the authority to that moment say, hey, you shouldn't be here, you're unclean, you're not allowed to leave your house, you're going to be stoned right now. So she's going to Jesus not knowing. We read this and we know. So let's not read this like we're super smart. We get the whole story. But Jairus, imagine Jesus, the man that can say you're about to die. And all other religious leaders we've come to find in the scripture, this is the only one mentioned, the only one with faith. And it says he was prominent. so much that the Bible mentions him. That man is standing next to him, and Jesus is asking a question. She could have went, "Got what I needed. I'm going to go. But she sees him, not knowing he's in the midst of his miracle. And it says she said the whole truth. And you know, that had to have been like a testimony last week of just an enriching, that just happened for her. It's happening for my daughter too. It's happening for my daughter too. He was not telling Jesus, "Hey, wait, we're actually on the road to go somewhere. Wait your turn. My daughter needs healing. Wait your turn." No, he knew that what he had asked for was exactly what was going to happen. He wasn't in a hurry. I love that these two intersect. God's really cool like that. You see all these details. Did you know your story's a lot like that? Where there will be people that you will encounter, and like them, it doesn't really make sense, but God has it orchestrated for you to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. God is so good. In the Jewish law, if you had a flow of blood, you weren't allowed to leave the house. Now, we know she had money because it says that she, for 12 years, had went to many physicians. This wasn't like she had health insurance. She went to many physicians. She went to physicians all the time, saying, "Somebody, I've tried that. Let's try something else." Imagine 12 years, physician to physician, anyone, anything. She was seeking help, but she didn't find it. It said she grew worse. And at the end of 12 years, she had used up her wealth to try to get well. That tells me the enemy is such a thief in more ways than one. Because he didn't just steal her health. He stole her time. He stole her money. He stole her joy. He stole her ability to walk, her ability to take care of herself, her ability to have certain relationships, to be out and meet people. He probably, most likely, her security as a woman to feel confident, and he stole it. And I love that in one moment, what the enemy stole, God gave it all back and gave it back better. Verse 26, it says, who had endured much suffering. That's not like a few symptoms, that's much suffering. My favorite thing about this woman, there are several things I really like, but my favorite thing is she never got used to the suffering. It was in her face every day, and she never got used to it. You know, no matter how long you have been dealing with something, do not get used to it. She never got used to it. If something did not line up with her inheritance as a child of God, if something does not line up with your inheritance as a child of God, don't get used to it. No matter how long you've lived, you can say, "Well, I'm old now." You could have had it your whole life. Don't get used to it. The best days are still in front of you. Your happiest, most joyful days are still in front of you. She had heard the reports, it says, concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in a throng and touched his garment. She had heard reports. She must have heard that he was a healer. She must have heard that he was a healer, and it must have been a good report. Thank God for good friends. Somebody could have gave her a really bad report. She heard a report that was all she needed to be persuaded. The word of God should be easy to persuade you, that if it says it, you're easily persuaded to believe it. You don't reach for what you don't hear. And that's not just coming to church and hearing somebody speak and you think that's how you have to hear the word of God. I'm talking about when you're in a store, in an aisle, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. If you hear it, act on it. It's becoming skillful in that gift. Here's how her miracle began, and we're going to go to a different direction here in a moment. Number one, her miracle began because choosing to believe what she heard. Number two, she got up and she got dressed. Would have been easier to stay in bed. How many of you could have said that today? Would have been easier to stay in bed. But you got up, you got dressed, and you got to church. Maybe your shirt was inside out, but you were here. Maybe you realized you didn't have matching socks. It's okay. My son never does. Generally, he only has one on his foot. I don't know where the other sock goes. But you made it into the house of God. Number three, she put her life at risk to go out of her house. Number four, she found out where he was. They didn't have cars. There was no social media to be like spotted at, you know. She figured out where he was. And it does not say how long the journey was to get there. And she crawled. That's a long way to crawl. Weak. She think of 12 years of bleeding. Number five, she had to go to work basically by getting through a multitude. So she found him, and then the real work began. Getting through a multitude of people. I can't tell you probably on this side of heaven how many times she got stepped on. She kept going. It says she pressed through the multitude. What does that mean? She pressed through obstacles. Our miracles oftentimes in the natural look like a ginormous obstacle in front of our face. And when you press through it, you'll realize that was really nothing. It really was nothing. What's the obstacle? A diagnosis? Okay, it can be undiagnosed as soon as it can be diagnosed. It's not that big of a deal. It's what she decided to magnify. Faith doesn't care what the obstacle is, doesn't care what the diagnosis is. It just keeps going, keeps believing. Oral Roberts said this, and I think of this daily. But he said, miracles are either coming to me or they're going past me. Every day. And it depends on how we respond. You have the ability to walk in miracles every day of your life. Every day of your life. You have the ability to be free from fear every day of your life. You have the ability to have joy. Every day of your life. You have the ability to have sweet sleep every day of your life. You have the ability to actually feel good, have energy every day of your life. Say, I have the ability to be free every day of my life. All right, let's go to verse 28. It says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She must have heard something about the garment. She must have. You don't have faith for what you don't hear. There's no way that this was something she just knew the name of Jesus and she thought, you know what, a garment. I'm just gonna touch his clothes. We'll see. She had to have heard something about it. But this is what I love about her, and I've learned this and I've adapted this, is it says she kept saying, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be restored to health. Her words preceded her actions. She didn't touch until she said something. She had every reason, I'm sure, to say something else on that way. Imagine all the words we would say on the way. All the people walking by you, probably yelling at you for being out of your house. You're going to get stoned. You know, who knows what they were saying to her. Get back in the house. Yet she didn't change what she was saying. What we say is so important. And it's not out of works. What she said, what came out of her heart of what she believed. And she kept her eyes on it. And she kept saying 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 it. Now here's where we're going today. Are you ready? Are you awake? If you're asleep, wake up. If you're next to somebody asleep, wake them up. Say, it's about to get good. You don't want to miss it. Verse 34. We're gonna just go there. Jesus here tells her how to keep her healing. Verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. He's telling her, don't lose your peace. That gives us an idea of maybe that's where it started. She lost her peace. You know, it's really hard to walk in your inheritance as a child of God when you don't have peace. When you don't have peace, not much good flows from you and out of you. And it's not going, well, I'm not in a peaceful situation. No, it says you have peace in every circumstance, not with every circumstance. I'm not at peace with being sick. But you know what? I have peace because I know that I'm healed. You have peace as a child of God that you can have every single day of your life. You can live in it. You can walk every day no matter what's said to you, what's told to you, what you've even said years ago, what your wife says, what your husband says, what your kid decides to say to you, God bless them. You can still have peace. I tell my son all the time, because he will act a crazy in moments. I mean, it's just like, whoa. And I never say, you made me really frustrated, because he doesn't have that kind of power. Do I feel frustrated? Sure. It's the same with peace. There can be things that come at your peace, but don't give them that much power. Nothing can take it from you. No matter where you walk, no matter what situation you're walking into, you can walk in with total peace. It can be the most unpeaceful circumstances. It could be the most unpeaceful people around you. Anybody have those people? It's like, wow, no peace comes with you. But peace comes with you. You carry peace. Make sure that no one else carries your peace. Make sure your spouse doesn't carry your peace, because it will still shake. It'll come in moments and go in moments. But her peace, it says, was a pretty big deal, because God could have told her anything in parting words. And he said, go into peace, which means she had come out of it. And it was as simple as him just saying, go into peace, and she went into peace. If you've been out of peace, it's as simple, you can go right back into it. Maybe your morning wasn't peaceful. You can come right back into it right now. And it's not saying I love the circumstances of my life right now, but it's saying I'm not worried about them. My peace, I've got my eyes on where it is, where it comes from. He said, don't lose your peace. Maybe she got into worry and fear. Maybe she did. I've done that. Have you done that? Sometimes you're thinking and then you go, these aren't peaceful thoughts. This has not taken me down a peaceful road. And the more times you catch that, the sooner you don't get down the road. It's so vital that we deal with this. Because this is the area the enemy goes to. It's right here. It's your greatest tool. It also is what he knows is your greatest tool. Or why would he be attacking it like it is? Because you know, if you can think it, if you can imagine it, you can have it. Jim Hockaday was telling me this in the office. He goes, you know that verse that says, when you believe in your heart, he goes, that word heart doesn't just mean heart. It also has another meaning. Anybody want to know what it is? I was like, well, spit it out. What is it? And he said, it means imagination. And I thought, you're so right. You're so right. In October, when I was in my bed, what did I do? I immediately had the thought of, it was John G. Lake. He was in his deathbed. I had heard this story. I had pictured it in my mind, and it's in one of his books. He's a lot of books, by the way, and they're big. They're big books, but they're awesome. One of my husband's favorites. And he said he just crawled. He crawled out of bed, and he went to where the word was being spoken. That's a long way to crawl. So that is what I imagined, that story. So what did I do? Crawled out of bed. Here's the other part of it. Had I imagined myself walking out of bed? Could I have just walked out of my bed? Yeah. Because what you see here happens before it happens. So if you can picture yourself well, if you can picture yourself whole, that's why I say get an idea of what you would look like with your life in peace. What would you look like? What would you talk like? What would you walk like? What would you do? Who would you bless? What places would you go? If you can get a visual of your life living in a full inheritance as a child of God, a son and daughter, what would you do? Now do that. And that's where power meets your faith. But so many times, and I have done this too many times, I've imagined how hard something's going to be. And I've tried to, you know, you're trying to like muster up the courage to do it. You know, it's like, man, going to the DMV. It's like, man, I just don't want to be here. And I know tomorrow that's not going to be a good time because I just, the line and everything. And you know what happens to me? There's always a line when I go. And Colin, never a line. Never. Never a line. And you want to know what? It's because that's what I expect there to be. I made it hard before it was hard. You know, there are things in our life that the enemy will push, but there are also things that we create by just assuming it's going to be difficult. And that's why in all of these stories, I love that Jesus goes, it's not what's, you're not asking what's harder, you're asking what's easier. What's easier? What's easier? What's easier? It's all easy with God. If we, it's the same amount of energy, but if we would focus it and go, God, what could my day tomorrow look like? What's on my list of things to do? And I've been doing this week, and it's been humbling. I will go, okay, this one, these are the ones I'm not so looking forward to. And then I would look at them and go, okay, why? What am I expecting? Okay, well, I don't like being on the phone with insurance people. I don't care if you're one of them. I love you now. I don't want to be on the phone with you about insurance. I just don't. It's not fun for me. I had to do that this week. And I went, I'm going to have a pleasant conversation, and it's going to be in and out. There's not going to be any elevator music and holding time, and they're not going to have to send me to four different people, and I'm not going to have to say the spiel four different times. I just expect it to go well and not to take time like it normally does. And do you know what happened? It worked. And I looked back at all the days that I had expected it to be bad, and it was, and thought, wow, those days could have been different. You know, if you can picture your life healed, if you can see it, just start acting like you are. Some of you did that today. You did not feel healed this morning when you got out of bed. But you got out of bed, you got dressed, and you got here. How many of you feel better than you did when you woke up? Maybe she lost her peace, and he told her how to keep it. This is important. He said, so be it done to you according to your faith. Not his faith, her faith. Be it done to you according to your faith. That means what you have faith for, you can have it. According to your faith. She had big faith. And he was telling her, hey, what came for your life was a lack of peace. Now you know how to keep it. Don't let anything steal your faith. Don't let anything steal your faith. We don't hear about her again. I wonder why. I'm sure if she had messed that up, she would have showed back up in scripture. And he'd been like, remember the lady. Here's round two of the lesson that we need. But it was enough. Because she knew exactly what he was talking about. It wasn't, she was going, what peace? What do you mean? I'm so peaceful. She knew. Quinn, if you don't have peace, you know exactly. You know exactly how it feels. To not have peace is something that takes from you. The author of it is Satan. Why? Because he's a thief. He has no peace. So what does he want to steal from you? The thing he can't have. Just know that if the enemy's fighting you on something, it's just because he's jealous. And normally, your breakthrough is right around the corner, or he wouldn't be shouting so loud. And where I see a lot of believers, and I've done this, is we look at that. We look at what's being shouted at us. And we're going, the devil's just mean. He just needs to leave me alone. The devil's a jerk. Yeah, he is. But why would he be yelling at you and trying to shift your focus if nothing was in front of you? You should know if things are getting loud, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Say, that's a good sign. Don't give him more credit than he deserves. He deserves none. He deserves none. You have the ability to walk in peace every day of your life. I'm going to have, Mr. Ralph, this is an odd time, but I'm going to have you give the testimony you shared with me this morning.
I started a lawn business about 2006. And in 2011, I bought a truck to pull a very heavy trailer with. And that truck stayed together for 12 and a half years. And I mean, I worked the snot out of that truck. I pushed snow with it. I pulled trailers with it. I mean, it was a workhorse. in November, I retired the lawn business, and I retired the pickup. It sat in my driveway. I never drove it after November. So this goes to show you how faithful God is, because that truck stayed together for 12 and a half years. I drove it Monday to hook to my trailer to deliver a small toolbox. Blew a head gasket in the pickup. Limped it back home. Ended up delivering the toolbox with Jake's pickup. Way too much trailer for his pickup. Thursday, I went and bought a new vehicle, and yesterday, I put my pickup on Marketplace to sell it, and disclosed that it has a blown head gasket and all the stuff that's wrong with it. Some guy from Virginia called me up, said, I want that pickup, sent me the money via Cash App, and he's having a transport company pick it up today. So it just goes to show you how great God is.
How cool is that? You know, a lot of times that deserves, yeah, that's amazing. A lot of times that moment of, wow, this thing just went out. Peace. For most, ripped away from you. Just, have you ever been driving and something goes wrong and you're immediately going, price tag, this is going to be. I love that. Because that's not what he did. He didn't give it that power. You're not going to steal my peace from me. I'm going to get full ask. It's not going to waste my time. And I'm going to be able to get the car that I want, that I've actually been wanting. And God's got it. That's the kind of things that happen when you don't let peace be stolen from you. If you've been letting peace be stolen from you today, change it up. Change it up. Instead of expecting the worst, expect the best. If there's a problem, know, okay, whatever the enemy's trying to use for harm, God's going to turn this around in my favor. And it's actually going to leave me off better than I was before. Are you better off than you were on Thursday? Do you have what you want? You got to pick the one you wanted. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Silver. That's amazing. I'll give you the contrast here. In a month ago or so, our washer started making sounds, and then our dryer made worse ones. And I mean, it's like if I'm going to put the dryer on, I can't be home. I mean, it was loud. It sounded like the house would take off. And you're going, how bad does this need to be cleaned? It does, but let's leave. Let's leave. Let's not be here. And immediately, and Colin, I asked him if I could share this. Because he spent 3 hours. He took both apart. Sweet man. And put them back together, and we turned them on, and it sounded like fixed, because they had totally stopped by this point. It was a Saturday night, and he looked at it, and he just sat on the floor, and I said, do they work? And he goes, I don't have anything to say right now. And normally, like, that man's not moved by much, but I knew the silence was loud. But I had asked weeks before in prayer time, God, it would just be so great to have a new washer and dryer. It would just be great. I don't want to have, it would just be really great. These were original to the house. Ugh. I just want ones no one's used. Never. Never. And I had put that. I had made a list of what I wanted for that month. That was one of them. And in that moment, I knew, like, they went kaputs. Okay, they're not coming back from this one. And thank you. And the next day, I said something about that, and I don't even remember what I said, because it was just part. I just was telling a story. I think of Colin. It was like a funny. And after I had not just one washer and dryer offered to me. I had four. And I was like, what do I do? But when Colin did that, normally I'm the one that's like, price tag. Oh no, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? Okay, that puts back plans. I guess we could alter, and you start kind of changing some of your goals because now there's another need. And I didn't do that. And I just, in that moment, I said, God, I praise you that is a total problem, but it's not mine. You deal with it. I gotta go study. I had four offered to me the next day. Do you know I have a brand new washer and dryer sitting in my house that is quiet? It's quiet. I can be home when I'm washing things and drying things. And it's exactly what I wanted. You can even steam your clothes in it, guys. That was on my dreams list, guys, for a washer and dryer. What I'm trying to say is, had I respond differently, I may not have given there enough room for God to do anything. Because I had closed to what could happen. It's going to cost me this much. I'm going to have to move this. And I didn't do that. You know, you can have whatever you decide you're going to have. So no matter what you hear this week or what you see this week, decide now. It's not going to take my peace. It doesn't have that much power. And if the enemy's screaming loud, there's something really good around the corner. God's got me. He said, daughter, your faith and trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed. That's key. That meant you keep your peace. You're not going to deal with sickness the rest of your life. It says you'll be continually healed, which means if something even came up, you're going to be healed from it. It gave her what she needed for future circumstances. It said, and freed you from your distressing bodily disease. So it was saying, not only are you in the future taken care of for anything else that would come up, but this won't show up again. This is the God you serve. And this was before a covenant. You have a covenant with Jesus, which means what she went to get, you sit in right now. Not because of what you've done, because if it was based on that, I wouldn't have anything. But thankfully, Jesus paid so you could have it all. You're his daughter. You're his son. I would withhold nothing good from my son. And imagine Jesus. Think of how much you love somebody in your life. Jesus, it doesn't even compare to the amount that he loves you. He would withhold nothing good from you. He is withholding nothing good from you. Every day, miracles are happening. Every day, it's like what Jim Hockaday said about winning the lottery. You win it every day. The odds are always in your favor. But it is going, God, I grab that. I grab that. That's mine. I'm worthy of that, not because of me, because you did it. That one's mine. I'm not letting my peace go. Yeah, they said that, but my peace isn't going. What will you focus on this week? For those of you that walked in healing even a few Sundays ago, don't let anything make you believe you don't have what you have. You have what you have because you're a child of God. Let no voice, no fear, no person tell you don't have what you have. You couldn't tell me there's not a washer and dryer in my house right now. I used it this morning. You couldn't tell me. That's how sure we should be about what we have in our inheritance as a child of God. You couldn't tell me I don't have it. It's sitting in my house right now. Don't let someone tell you you don't have it. It's in you right now. You are a child of God. You have an inheritance to not just get to heaven, but to walk as kings and queens on this earth. That is what you are. That's what he calls you. That's pretty incredible. That your father would call you a king and a queen. There's a scripture that says kings and queens will come from your body. Moms, you're raising kings and queens. Dads, you're raising kings and queens. You're saying they don't act very king and queen-like. Speak it into them. See it. Say it. Watch it. It's not which is harder, it's which is easier. And it's all easy because it's your inheritance. That's walking in with a check that's cashable every day. Would you stand to your feet with me today? From looking in this room, I don't ever want to assume that everyone knows Jesus. So I'm going to give you the opportunity. And for those of you online especially, but I'll never make that mistake. There was a couple weeks ago when an altar call was given, and this 92-year-old woman decided, I would like to receive Jesus. And one that sent me a message, hey, I received Jesus today. 82 and 92. Don't you think that life stops at a certain point and your life couldn't be every bit as fruitful? If you're here and you're breathing, God has a plan for you. There's fruit to be harvested. And you may say, I've missed it for years as a child of God. And now what am I going to do? You're going to live the way that God paid for you to live. That this will be your best. If you've never made that decision, today could be your day. Would you close your eyes, family? We're all going to say this with you. The Bible says when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that you will be saved. That is also, that's the biggest miracle ever. But it's also how you can get healed. You could have all that in this moment. Would you say, dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, you rose again, and when you rose, I rose with you. From this moment forward, I make you my Savior, my Lord, my helper, my wisdom, my healing, my prosperity, my everything, in Jesus' name, from this moment forward, I'm a child of God. And I accept your Holy Spirit, the one you gave to walk with me every day so that I could live in my inheritance every day. I receive it in Jesus' name. It is mine. Amen. Would you give them a round of applause? If you did that online, send me a message. I'll send you a Bible. I'm going to close today, and you can go pick up your kids, and please do. That would really bless our teachers if you would pick them up. You can't leave them here until tonight, all right? Take them, give them lunch, bring them back. But I'm gonna be up here. If you need healing today, and maybe it's a healing of, like, you've lost your peace, I want to pray with you. And me and Ken are going to be up here because that's something, if you didn't hear last week, God gave him back. And so we're going to be up here praying. And, of course, Pastors Jim and Deborah are going to be up here. But if you need healing, I want to pray with you. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. I think a lot of times people go, I'm a little little nervous about that. Well, why? You could walk out free. Let that be a bigger deal to you. Everybody else here, they're not worried about you. They want you to be healed. We care if you're healed in this house. We care that you walk free in this house. So go ahead and get your kids. Greet somebody. Be back here tonight. But if you want prayer or if you have somebody you need prayer for, come forward. I would love to pray with you. We love you, church. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.